Matt Brown covers college football, SB Nation, joining us here on Game Night. Matt Perrault, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on this evening.
Yeah. So through your eyes, how do you see the SEC media days now? Because it used to be, to me, it was the start of football season. Not so much anymore.
You know, I'm not sure that the luster from the event is completely evaporated. It's still a pretty important milestone on the college football offseason, right? Like, you know, you get your Phil Steele magazines coming in, you get, like, you know, the first major player gets arrested, and then, okay, it's SEC media day. So you get the goofy people in the mullets, you know, descending upon Hoover, Alabama, and now things are getting sexed. But I think now that, especially over the last year or two, that the SEC is almost completely dominated right now by one program. Like, you know, a couple of years ago, sure, Alabama was the peer of the SEC, the pinnacle of the SEC, but you'd have three or four other teams that you could definitively say, like, these are top 10 programs, these are top 12 programs, and right, you know, these are teams that could conceivably compete against Alabama, making this a more interesting race. And I think it's pretty definitively clear this is Alabama's race to lose. And the coaching talent within this conference has really, I think, diluted compared to the ACC or Big Ten over the past couple of years, and that makes it a little bit less exciting.
Yeah, totally agree. All the heat for rivalries really is in the Big Ten when it comes to Michigan, Ohio State, and the talent and the recruiting ranks and the recruiting satellite camps that have happened with the Big Ten going into SEC country and everything else with that. But it's funny that you bring up the Phil Steele guide, because I remember when my wife for the first time ever saw one of those, she opened it up and tried to read it and was like, is this English? Because if you don't know what that magazine is, it has a ton of shorthand types of abbreviations, because there's so much information jammed into that thing that if you don't know it, it really is almost like its own language. And yeah, when that thing comes in the mail, I know numerous friends of mine who live in Alabama that it's just like, okay, football season's here, we can start to break things down. But in terms of storylines for the SEC right now, is it, I don't mean to be, you know, look, they've been amazing, but is it what happened last year and let's rebound from a year that wasn't what we thought it could have been?
Yeah, I think that's part of it. The other big thing that I'm going to be looking for here is where the coaching attrition is going to be coming from. Because, you know, if you especially look at the SEC West, where you have every single coach in this division making like $4 million.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that, I mean, these are all fine coaches and they're all institutions that are heavily invested in football. But that means at the end of the day, you're paying someone $4 million to finish in last place. And that is not something that's really acceptable to this booster culture. And, you know, last year we didn't have a whole lot of attrition in this conference, but you're looking at Tennessee, you're looking at Texas A&M, you're looking at Auburn, you know, Ole Miss, who knows what to make of that situation. But there's multiple coaches that are coming into this season, I think, with a lot to prove at very high-pressure situations. And given I'm less impressed with the depth of the coaching within this league, I imagine there's going to be at least two openings after this season. Maybe the conversation ahead to next SEC Media Day then is a little bit different.
Matt Brown, SB Nation, covers college football, joining us here on Game Night. It's wild that you say that, because the SEC, I mean, there used to be, just going into the year, there was always two or three teams that we would say, this team has enough talent with this coaching staff to go ahead and win the national championship. Is it a problem? Has Alabama become, not for Bama fans, because they don't care, but for everybody else in the conference as a whole, has Alabama become a problem?
You know, as a national college football writer, I think that Alabama is a problem because and this changed a little bit last year, but not only are they this kind of whirling death machine that has a talent advantage against almost everybody else that they play, and the one tiny little thermal exhaust port in the Death Star is something that really most other teams in the SEC can't exploit because they don't have quarterbacks that can stretch the field in that same kind of fashion. It's mostly boring, it's way more fun if there's a compelling counterpoint to Alabama. I mean, we might have that a little bit this year. There's a lot of positive buzz around Auburn. Jarrett Stidham, former five-star quarterback, Baylor transfer, just came in from junior college, and that might be the missing link to Auburn's offense. But there isn't really another. I mean, some people, you can kind of talk yourself into Georgia. You can maybe talk yourself you know, I guess into Florida, but there's not really another ready-made peer within the league, and that makes it unfortunate. When you point to the ACC, where you have Florida State and Clemson, you have Ohio State and Michigan and Penn State, the Big Ten, and there's these really more bipolar conference battles everywhere else. I don't think we really have that in the SEC this year.
It's interesting, Matt, because there was always the foil for Alabama. There was always some coach that you'd look at and some team you'd look at and you go, okay, that might be the team this year. And then they get a Cam Newton with Auburn and then it happens. Or you see LSU get a run and all of a sudden they've got it. Who's the second best coach in this conference behind Nick Saban in your mind?
Oh, man. That's the other really tough question. And, you know, to be honest with you, I think it's Dan Mullen, which is hilarious because that's somebody that it's an off-season ritual, right? Like, okay, well, the season's over. Now it's time to tie Dan Mullen to six other jobs because it's clear he's trying to get the heck out of Starkville. And also in the very back of your mind, you talk to Mississippi State fans and they're like, well, it wouldn't be that bad if he left, you know, because most of his obviously he's been very successful at a place that's very difficult to win, but it's a little bit like James Franklin was at Vandy, where you're piling up more impressive win-loss records by, you know, beating a bunch of, SWAC teams out of conference, and then, you know, catching the Vandy or Missouri or Kentucky in the SEC and getting up to seven wins. It's not really that impressive. But right. You look at everybody else, and they're either people that have only been there a year or two or have some really clearly defined flaws which prevent them from being able to take advantage of all of their, program advantages, you know, whether that's a place like Missouri or Florida or Georgia, where they haven't been able to have the consistent offense. Certainly that's been an issue at LSU for a while. Tennessee has recruited well and has completely failed to realize that potential. And then you have a bunch of newish people, and you have Hugh Freeze, who, you know, might be sent off to the college football equivalent of, like, Alcatraz in, like, the next year or two. If you're an SEC administrator, I would be a little bit concerned about that because, you know, you still have all these great demographic advantages. You have these enormous fan bases. You have this beautiful television contract, and it just means more and all of these things. But if Dan Mullen is the second-best coach in your conference, and no disrespect to Dan Mullen, who's a fine football coach, I would be concerned about that development.
Yeah, and all of a sudden, it's interesting to look at the landscape of college football outside of the SEC because you mentioned the Big Ten and what the Big Ten has, but there's a lot of coaching talent in the Pac-12 all of a sudden, and there's a lot of teams out there that you go, okay, maybe they'll have an easier schedule, or maybe they can recruit California, and they don't have to go and battle in Texas or battle in the South to pull players to the Pac-12. They can just recruit their backyard and go win a national championship. I mean, from an SEC standpoint, I know Bama has consistently been there, but at some point, don't they have to look around and say, look, we need to have more teams competing for championships?
Yeah, and it's most of this is cyclical, right? If you have programs that make enormous financial advantages and are located in such close geographic proximity to great talent, like Florida, like at LSU, like at Georgia, eventually they're going to make stronger hires and they're going to rebound. Like, I don't know if we're ever going to see a period of conference domination like we saw from the SEC, like 2007 to 2014, but it's going to pick up a little bit. Especially as coaching talent kind of drifts from conference to conference. Like, I actually look at it right now, I don't think it's as much the Pac-12, but the ACC that I think has really consolidated a lot of really great names. And maybe those are maybe the SEC hires a couple of those people away. Like, a guy like Justin Fuente, I think, would have done really, really well at a lot of SEC schools. And he's very well positioned, I think, to be very successful at Virginia Tech, comes in, wins the division his first year. Mark Richt obviously was a really successful coach in the SEC for a long time. He's back at his alma mater in Miami, and that's a team that might win 10 games next year. Cutcliffe wasn't as successful in the SEC. He's doing a great job at Duke. Larry Fedora might be a guy that ends up in the SEC next year, perhaps at a Texas A&M. Mm-hmm. We might see these things change in a year or two, but, you know, that I think is really where a lot of the very talented SEC caliber type coaches are right now, and maybe 3 years ago there would have been in the SEC West.
Matt, what do you make of the opinion of some fans that state the SEC is a victim of its own success and that good coaches don't want to go into the conference because if they lose one or two games, they could lose their job?
I don't think that that's really true. I mean, if you're a college football coach, you're going to be somebody who's highly competitive by nature. And if you're going into the SEC, yes, it's going to be extremely competitive. And you're going to have to recruit at a very high level, because if you are only bringing in a top 35 class, you're at the bottom of the conference. But you know what else? You're making $4 million a year. And every single one of your games is going to be on ESPN. And then you get to go walk into a kid's room and say, hey, you're going to go, you get to play in Tuscaloosa. You get to go play in Baton Rouge. And everyone you're playing against is going to go make it into the NFL. Like, that's an extremely easy recruiting pitch. Like, I don't think people are scared off from taking those jobs because they think it's too hard. If they're not taking them and if they're going somewhere else, it would be because of other family or other logistical reasons rather than not wanting to worry about it. One exception to that might be Vandy, but that's, you know, that's a job that has a bunch of other complicating factors on it besides the fact that it's Vandy.
Yeah, I'm still surprised that Jimbo Fisher is not in this conference. I fully expected him to be at LSU, so I'm really surprised that he's still at Florida State. But that was a major keep for the FSU and a major keep for the ACC as well, kind of to go back to your point about where those coaches are right now in college football.
Yeah.
Matt, great stuff tonight. Really appreciate the time. Let's do it again soon.
Yeah, no problem. Take care.
It's Matt Brown, SB Nation College Football, joining us here on Game Night.